Rabbi Rabbi Say. We spoke about Baz Hashem already, about the mitzvah and the chiyuv on the malvet to lend, and the mitzvah and the chiyuv on the lovet to pay. And this is where now they both come together. When it comes paying time, when it comes time to pay up for a loan, upon whom does it rest to go and make the first step? Does the lova have to come forward and pay on its own initiative, or can he wait and sit back and wait until the malva comes and knocks on his door or starts calling him and all the other ways that collections are made and say, it's time to pay? So there's a Mechudesh Dikei Ksos over here in Siman Kuf Dalet, the first reference on page 6 of this series, that says, and these were his words, "Ena malva tayvai l'loiva." If the malva does not take that first step and make that claim on the lova to say it's pay up time, "Ena mitzuvah l'freya chayvai," the lova is not mechuyev to pay. It's incumbent upon the malva to collect, and then I'll pay. If you don't want to bother paying me, I don't have to go run after you. That's the chiddushik statement in the ksos. The nesivas jumps on him and it says, "Oh, vadi lesa, that's totally impossible and unacceptable. What are you talking about? Devadi avsha malva shalcheach veino tovea." What happens if the malva just forgot about it? He's busy with a million other things. He could track down every little loan that he lends out. He doesn't get around to collecting. Chayv lefraya, vados pasha. The person that borrows money has to pay the money. So we have a machlokes leksos and nesivas about whether a lova has to run after the malva and whether he has to take the first step, the initiative, and go and pay, or whether he could sit back and wait until the malva comes and collects for him. The ksos himself, I have to tell you, I didn't write it down over here even. I didn't really understand what he wants, how he tries to prove his point. He proves his point that there's no chiyuv from a place that I don't understand where the chiyuv is at all, the raya is at all. The din is that, Mishnah says in Bavotzia, Mamvava might be off. Chamisha Prutos Haim. Mishnah over there says that only if a person steals money and afterwards, when he's asked for it, he denies having stolen it. And not only that, he swears falsely in denial of it, right? So then he has chayv and a carbon shvua, he's chayv to pay back the money and a chaymish more than that, and also bring a carbon ashram gzeles. In that case alone, is his chayav leilach acharav l'madai, in case the nigzal, the one that he stole from, went away from hometown over here where he stole from him, and he went off to Hudson Plutz, then the gazlan has to go after him to that place wherever he might be and find him, because otherwise he doesn't get any kapara for the aver. But short of that, if he didn't make a shua sheker, so that even though he stole from someone, he doesn't have to pay him back. He has to pay him back. He doesn't have to go run after him to pay him back. He's not here. When you come to town, I'll pay you. When you're not here, I don't have to run over the whole world over because you moved away. And the same thing is by a loiva. If I borrow money from you, so I'll pay you back over here if you're in town. If you go and move to California or to go to Eretz or whatever, that's not my responsibility to go run after you. If I borrowed from you in California and I came over here, then I have to come back to where we did our business from originally. But if the lender moved away or went away on a vacation or a trip or business, whatever it might be, the loba doesn't have to run after him. Now from that, somehow I don't understand exactly how the ksos understands. So you see, that's not my chiyuv to go pay you. It's when you come to me, I have to pay you. But l'chor, that's no shaykhus, because by the gazlan certainly there's a chiyuv of heishav zeyos mitzvah say. But here the Chacham are establishing, I don't have to go run around the world for you, except by the case of a b'karban shua. So likewise, by a halva, I might have a chiyuv derais of having to pay you and taking the first step as well. But if you go away, that's your fault. That's not upon me to run after you. So I push it, don't even grasp where the ksos saw in that anything at all. After him, there's two achrayim that I saw that do find a source that they find to support the chiddush of the ksos. The Nachal Yitzchak on Chayshim Mish was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, Goyin Olam and Pesach Gador, God of Yisrael in his days at the end of the 19th century. Rabbi Yitzchak has Dubaim Sefer on Chayshim Bishop called Nachal Yitzchak. And he says, I can bring you a raya from the Farish of Mishnah. And we talked about this Mishnah, I think, another time. And that is the Lachas Pula Sachir, that when a person works for you, does your labor, and then you hire him to do a job, then there's a mitzvah of Biyomotit and Scharai, Losol Pula Sachir, Rad Baiker. There's five mitzvahs that say, and those that say that you have to pay your workers and pay them on time. Now, the Mishnah over there says in Bamatsiya that when is the Balabayas chayav to pay the payel, the sacher, the worker? When he's toveya him. When he is asking for it. But if he finishes his job, he just packs up and goes home, he doesn't say, okay, time to pay me. Or he doesn't even hint to it by saying, my job is done, and without speaking it out, what he means to tell you is, where's the cash, right? For instance, a nice edel and medele, babysitter girl. She's so sweet. She said, I took care of the girl, saw the kids so nicely, put them to bed. How was the wedding? Thanks so much. I'm leaving. What she means to say is, where's the money? But she's too edel, she doesn't say it. But that's what she's saying, right? But Derek Ramiza. But if she doesn't even say that, she just picks up and she leaves, right? Or the worker just packs up and he goes home. The Mishnah says, you're not chayv. The Gemara even learns it from Pasik. Pasik says, Lo salam pula sachar idcha ad baiker. Idcha means with you because of yourself. When you're holding it back, he wants it, but you're not giving it to him. But if it's not me idcha, it's not from your side, but it's from his, that he walked, picked up and he left, right? I have a cleaning lady that comes to me on Friday, and she's always in a rush. And she rushes Baruch Hashem doing the work, but then at the end she just rushes and leaves. Many times, next week we pay her double. At the end we get straight. But very often she just picks up and leaves. Anyway, by goy doesn't apply. But you know, she's too busy. She wants the next ride, she wants to get the next job, and she trusts us that we'll pay her the next week. She doesn't want to get paid this week right now, that's okay, it's her choice. So there we learn a pasuk of that it's only if the sacher is tovei the baal habayis, is the baal habayis mechuyav to pay. Doesn't mean I don't owe you the money, but I'm not mechuyav to go and find you and pay you when you come to me and knock on my door or somehow indicate that you want to get paid, then I'll pay you. But if you pack up and leave, I don't have to run after you. Zachter Yuzik HaChanan, that the payel is the equivalent of a creditor, like a lender. And over there, you see, we learn from a pasuk, we have a mishnah that says, without any disagreement, any machlekes on this point, that only when he's toveya, you are yechuyev to pay. When you're not toveya, you're not yechuyev to pay. And then likewise, from there, you can learn how to like the same thing over here by a lender. If when he asks for a payment, I'll be happy to pay him. He doesn't bother by asking me, I'm not going to bother running after him. You don't have to wake up a sleeping lion. When he's hungry, I'll come and I'll feed him. So that he brings as a support to the ksos. That was a serious source, and I had to really scratch my head hard in order to be able to see. But why is it, where the house on Sivas? I didn't see Sivas knows the Farish of Mishnah. That's a halacha without anyone arguing. It's in Sivan Shin Lamates in the end of Hilchos Chiyuros Poelim and Chayshim Mishpat. So what's that over there? So I think it's pashut that there's a big difference from over there to over here, and that is that the Gemara over there in that sugya in Kuf Yud Bey says that Baal HaBayis is a Torah B'Payalov, that the Baal HaBayis has many workers doing many jobs, and he has to keep the whole payroll of everyone to be able to pay people. And he has run all the businesses and run all the, and make sure everything is being done right. He can't keep track of everyone that's supposed to get paid. You come, you give me an invoice, I'll be happy to pay you. You don't come, give me an invoice, I have to keep track of all of your work. Do me a favor, keep track of your work, show me your hours, give me an invoice, I'll be happy to pay you. So it's the Baal HaBayis is Torud. He's Farnuman. He's preoccupied with everything else that's going on. I have 20 workers. The worker has one boss. The worker has one paycheck he wants to worry about. So you worry about your one, and come back to me. But my all 20 people, I can't keep track of everyone. If you have a full-time payroll officer, that's all he does with his life, is write payroll. Okay, but I'm not that. I'm a CEO. I'm running around like a chicken and going to back to the store and suppliers and to the customers and clients and contracts and legals and all the rest of the things I have to do. I have to keep track of the invoice of every one of my many employees. I can't put on the Baal HaBayis. Therefore, the stam adait and hachi, the stam das of hiring someone is that it's going to be upon the worker to invoice and to ask for payment, which I'll be happy to pay if I trust him. I don't trust him, I have to go and check up on his invoice whether it's honest. But give me a bill, I'll pay it. But until you come back and say, okay, boss, time to pay me. What's your rate? What's how many hours you put in? Okay, for a shine, here's a check. Then that's on your responsibility, your onus upon you, the worker, not upon the Baal HaBayis. On the other hand, the Gemara says, a number of places, I reference one place in the end of Baal Basra, but numerous places the Gemara brings down this pasuk that says, Eved lo b'lish malveh. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, but the Gemara brings it in numerous places, that the loveh is indebted to the malveh. The malveh did him a big favor, helping him out when he was on a tight spot. And the loveh, therefore, is duty bound and appreciative to the malveh, and therefore he has to satisfy the malveh. Mi'ikra din, he has to go after where the malveh wants to have a din taira. The minig, the Shulchan Aruch says, is that we don't do like that. We do with the nitva, go after the nitva. But ikra din, the many things that the loveh has to accommodate the malveh, because the malveh helped him out. Ebelovel ish malveh, and therefore likewise, the malveh tells the loveh that you borrowing the money, it's your responsibility to pay up. How much time you need? 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, whatever you want to make it up, fine. But now, at that time, I'm expecting you to come forward and knock on my door and pay me up. And that's therefore, that's the responsibility of the borrower, possibly even without the malveh being to obey him. And therefore, you can't bring a riot from the din of the payo, which is clear that it's totally in the tefiyah of the Baal HaBayis, of the payo from the Baal HaBayis. You can't bring a riot from there to the Mechalikus Ksos and Sivas by the case of the Malveh Loveh. Yes, sir. Every loan has a set time. Either it's 30 days, Tam Havar Shalosh Yom, or it's whatever else we make up. It could be 10 years, whatever it might be. If there's no chiv to ever pay back, then there's... Okay. When you demand, that's totally the tefiah. But if I make it a time, 6 months, here's $5,000.
So we're discussing this with the time.
Yeah,
the time
which is every loan, generally speaking, has a time you have to pay back. Now comes the time to pay back, right? So do I have to go? You don't come after me. If the malveh doesn't come after the loveh, does the loveh have to go run after the malveh and say, excuse me, the time is to pay up. You would like me to pay up or not? Really? You're coming over like that? I can't believe it. Right? Or is that expected? Right? That is the shiloh between the Ksos and the Nesivos. So my humble thought over here is that the Nesivos could very well be correct, and it's not a kasha on him from the Mishnah in Din of Skiras Pailah. The second raya that's brought in the Achrayim was called Imre Bina. He was one of the Oyerbachs, I forgot exactly his name. I don't remember. A Gaon about 150 years ago. That wrote a sefer on Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch and on Chayshe Mishpat. He has different sections, including Hilchos Gevuyos Chayiv. And he brings a raya from a shach in Siman Reish Lamed Beis. Reish Lamed Beis is a remote place you'll never think to find over there. It's a lachos of Mechatos and Mumim in a Mekach, things that are deficiencies that could cancel out a sale. And in the middle over there, in a discussion that seems to be totally unrelated, he brings down a Shulta Gibayrim at the end of Bava Kama about a halacha that relates to that sugya there. But Od Kasav, then he brings, by the way, also another halacha. And the halacha that the Shulta Gibayrim over there says, HaMalveh L'chaveiro Ve'eno Toveya HaVa'asai. If a lender lends and he doesn't afterwards, when the time comes for payment, go after and claim and ask for payment. Ein halova chayav shalim la yimei alav. Halova doesn't have to pay him ever on his own. And even though time is ticking and going by, months and years go by, and you never ask me for it, I can just say good Shabbos and walk by you and never mention anything about that chov. But hoyel v'eino toveya, I could assume that since the malveh is not asking for payment, but matana bigish litein lo, this time he wanted to give it to me as a present. I could assume that he was Michael to me. The Shach adds to that, but Tsar Chiyum is that. Shach's not so 100% convinced. But that's a psach from the Shilta Gibayrim, which is from him, from the Riaz, the Or Zeruah, from the early Baal Yatesis. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in Paiskim, that they go with this Riaz, the Shilta Gibayrim. Once upon a time ago, about 20 years ago, there was one of the largest Dinei Torah ever occurring here in the city of Baltimore. It involved creditors and TA. It was up in the seven digits. And without getting into a lot of detail of that, there was a shortfall to be able to pay them back, and there was a deal done with the Weinberg Foundation about giving the creditors a certain amount on their dollar and accepting that deal and wiping out the rest of the chov, and the Weinbergs paid up that amount, okay? But kids are numerous. The problem is that there was a list this long of creditors, and only this many came forward in the Din Torah. And the question was asked then to the Dayanim, which were Ben Chaim Chaim, Diane Gelly, Rav Chaim Kohn Zayin Gesund, and Rav Naftali Blank, Rav Shiva from Toronto.
Friedler,
thank you. So Chaim Bracha, Chaim Chaim. And the question was then, but what about those other, you know, large a number of creditors that didn't come forward, so they didn't accept or decline or make this deal, so their whole home still remains? That's going to throw off all the numbers. So Reb Chaim leaned way back on his chair, and he said, "Ah, we're going to have to be slamming over here on the Shulta Gevayim." So no one in the room, of course, knew what he was talking about. Shulta Gevayim, what's that? But this is what he was being slamming on. The Shulta Gevayim says that here they were all notified. They were all sent letters telling that there's a deal. There's all sent letters that there's a dentera. There's all sent letters that now is your time, you better get paid up. And they don't want to come forward. So it's not we're talking about these guys forgot about anything. They chose consciously not to come and come forward.
I don't want 20 cents on the dollar. I'll wait and get the full amount.
Well, then so come and say that, right? But instead, the psak of that bezna was that they were meichel their chayv and they don't get nothing at all. There were one or two that made that kind of statement to say that I'm not taking this deal and I'm going to reserve my right eventually. Someday the school's going to turn around. That was a different story. They got paid eventually the full amount. But which was a gamble on their part. But this was a case where we saw in action the Shulta Gevayim come to life. Okay, so that's a psak of the Shulta Gevayim. I'm just saying it's not just an archaic find in a remote place in Shulchan Aruch. It actually came alive. Allah
Kalamaisa. Isn't the Shulta Gevayim just saying you don't have to, at least if you're using it to support the service? It's just saying enough to dig your own steps to pay it back. Not that there's no formal mechila here.
I could assume that he wants to give it to Mezbanot. That's what the Shulta Gevayim says. So the Imre Bina, takes the step and says, "Oh, once I have a shach b'shem to Shulta Gevayim, I want to now go and support the Ksos. I want to say, you see, that Loba doesn't have to take initiative to knock on Mava's door. See, that's the Shulta Gevayim's premise must be, and then take that even further. And if he doesn't go and collect before for a long time, then I'm sure he gave it to me as a matana." So that is the Shulta Gevayim, Zok the Imre Bina. So you see from there, right from Rishonim, you see a makor to say that the Loba doesn't have to go and say, I have my mitzvah to do. No one knocks at my door, I still have to go take my lulav. I still have to put in my tefillin. That's my obligation. It's a mitzvah shebagufo. So why is that my obligation now to get up and now hinani movements in the kind of mitzvah priyas chayiv and to go and pay my debts to my lenders? You see from over here a support to the ksos that you don't have to do like that. That's the Imre Bina's Taina, which is, again, a solid argument. I offered in my suggestion, and it's along the lines, there's a sefer, Mishpatei HaTorah, three volumes, from Diane Spitz from the remote. It was Zagazunt, he's a Chashav Adayan in Eretz Yisrael. And one volume of it, or from the three volumes of it, they made one volume in English in Art Scroll, which I forgot the English name for it. But it's Mishpatei HaTorah, the original. He says, very similar to this, and I rounded out the way I said it, to say that not all cases are identical. It depends. It depends on the Amar Das. To be able to come to such a conclusion, I'm sure that he gave it away as a matana. You have to first rule out the more obvious reasons why a person doesn't collect. Usually a person doesn't collect is because he forgot about it. Right? Now, that depends on what it is. If I lend you, 50 cents to buy a soda, probably by tonight I'll forget about it, right? Certainly over, a month's time I'll forget about it. If I lend you $10,000 and I cleaned out my savings because right now I had to get you through something and whatever it might be, some kind of tzarech, I'll bet you I won't forget about that, right? And each person, relative to their means, when they're what's considered to be them a very substantial sum, they're not going to forget about. Number one. Number two is that there are cases in which there's complications in billing, and I could just make an error, and I double billed, or I single billed, or I wrong billed, and these kind of things happen many times. I'm sure you've had, but the whatever kind of billing that you have. And that, when they don't collect you for that other thing that they were supposed to collect for, it's not because they decided that they're going to waive their rights, it's because they're confused, right? So when it's because I could assume that shikha because of, let's say, a significant amount, or because there was some complication, we're going back and forth, and they didn't realize the other thing, and therefore they didn't bill me for it. That's not presumed to be a mechila and a matana. That's a tos. They don't have the cheshbon straight. When it's clear that that's not the case, there's no other cheshbonis over here, just a plain outright loan for whatever, $100, and it was enough that he wouldn't just forget about it. And then maybe add to the mix, you know, and we're very good friends anyway, or many times he helps me out, or we're very close relatives, he's my cousin, my uncle, my brother. So then there's grounds to say, you know what, he probably gave it to you as a bechila, as a matana. But when you don't have any kind of reason to give him a matana, and you have better, more probable that it's because there's either a toz or a shikha, then to jump to say that it's a matana is unlikely and you're not reliable. They're also, excuse me?
We're only talking about the key of the loan to pay on his own.
Right.
We're not talking about an actual mechila of the... In other words, if he would come, if the mavu would come at some time later and ask for it.
Oh.
We're not saying that
excellent.
He was Michael, right?
Excellent. Right now, we're going to assume that he's never going to come. And we're going to assume that he's actually Michaelit. Positively, consciously, he decided and he told his wife, you know what, I'm being Michael, I'm wiping that account off. That's already what we're going to assume. What happens if the day comes that he knocks on the door with a big anger saying, what's going on over here? Why haven't you paid? What kind of person are you? You told me you're going to pay. I waited. I gave you every kind of chance and nothing. Just good Shabbos. That's all it is. And now he's being Tavea. So poof, the whole balloon burst. And we no longer have to could assume, oh, I'm sure you were Meichelet. Meichelet, are you crazy? That was my money. I'm not going to be Meichelet. Nothing. That's the next paragraph. I'm dropping it ahead from the end of my comment over there. But Shulchan Aruch, Chayesh Mejesh, Mitzadei Chesif, Olive says, Gishamav, this lesson, Shulchan Aruch, Gishamav, Mozi, Shtar Chov, Mekuyim, when he brings out a Shtar Chov that says that the debtor owes the creditor money, Omer Lelobel, Shalem, you tell him, okay, you got to pay. Vafilu Shaw, Kama Shanim. And even if let years go by, and it didn't say anything, Ein Omrim, we do not say that Macholai, Kevon Sheshaw, Kol Kach Shonim, Velo Tavai. Obviously, since he waited so long, he never said something, it must be he was Michael. That we, Ein Omrim, we do not say like that. Rather, we say, Shalem, you got to pay it. So the Shilta Gebayrim is not arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach is not arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach of Simarish Lambeza is saying that so long as he doesn't come, the Lova doesn't have to go and knock on the Malva's door and say, you know, what about that Chov? He could assume, Mistam, you were Meichelet, at least under some limited circumstances. But if the Malva does come finally and make a claim, come to Bezdin or knock on his door, whatever it might be, and finally say, pay up, he's entitled to do so, and we can't say, no, we have proof positive that you were Meichelet. Won't go to right now into the year's time. Going back to my little paragraph beforehand, I added there's cases in which it's not even possible to say that there was a matan or a mechila. For instance, when you borrow from a gamach is not just a private person. I set a certain my miser money for a gamach that I could probably do what I want to do with it. But if we have a gamach here in Shul or in the Yogud or whatever miser organization has a gamach, and you have a gabai, you have a mamuna, you have a gizbar, you have someone that's in charge, a secretary that takes care of that gamach. He is authorized to lend money. He is authorized to collect money. He is not authorized to forgive money. He can't say, I lent out $2,000 of the Gemach's public funds. You know what, this guy's a hard time, I'm forgiving it. Who are you to forgive it? That's not your appointment. You're appointed over here to manage this and to revolve the money, recycle it. He's not in a position to Michael it. So then, if you're gonna be able to, and that's not only there, it's by many times that you would have someone that's an officer in a bigger company, and that guy didn't bill me. So he was Michael me. He's not a grace, a hush of a manager that has the right to be Michael me. Right? He's a botlin, that's what he is. Or maybe he's a nice guy. He's giving me extra time because he's like, but he's Michael me. He can't be Michael me. He's just an officer. He's not the boss. He's not the owner. So when you don't have that possibility of saying that he was Michael, you're like the Shilta Gebirim, then we still come back to the Machlekes Ksos and Sivas. Do I have to go on my own and pay him, or do we say that until he demands from me, I don't have to pay? That's still a Machlekes that's alive and well. And the Sivas could still say, Avali Machlekes, because he forgot or because he made a mistake, you're not Machlekes to pay. What kind of business is that? I, the Shilta Gebirim? The Shilta Gebirim says, when you could assume Machila, then okay, you're right to assume Machila. But there's many cases that you can't assume Machila, and therefore the thesis of the Siva still stands. Excuse me?
Again,
that's the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Zadi Ches. But the whole Machlokes goes to see if so as the Malva does not come. So if the Malva is dormant, and he's silent, he's not saying anything, does the Lova have to go and get up and make a lulav and make a tefillah and make a tzitzis? Does he also have to be a priyas bachov? Is that his chiyuv on his own? That's their Machlokes.
And the Shulchan Aruch also sounds like it's that
case. Yeah, we're all talking about when the Malva is dormant, does the Lova have to be active? That's it. Does he have to be proactive about going to pay his chovos?
Bar doesn't seem to be saying anything about mechila. He seems to be saying this issue of eino.
No. But matana bikei shlita lo. But matana bikei shlita lo is mechila. He's assuming.
He doesn't say you don't have to pay.
Yes, he does. I could assume.
On your own, you don't have to pay.
Why? Because hoyo beino tovei, but matana bikei shlita lo. I have right to assume that he was mechila.
But not to avoid it if he.
That's we're not. Of course, we said that. So we have a Shulchan Aruch. The entire discussion we're having on every single Mefarish over here, the Ksos, the Sivas, the Chiyotzah, everyone's talking about over here, when the Ma'av is dormant, does the Lova have to be proactive? That's the Machlekes. The Mitzvah of Priyas Balchov, do you have to go up and do it like you have to do, put on tefillin? Or where you have to only wait until someone says, no, it's time to go up to Mashkiach and Yeshiva? You're a big boy, you have to do it yourself. So you have to like yourself, be a big boy and make a Prius Bachov, it's a mitzvah also. Or is it only a response to a demand, and when there's no demand, there's no chiyuv to respond. That's Machlokes
between
Ksos and Sivas.
The statement Prius Bachov mitzvah.
What?
If more talks about this.
That's correct. That's correct. Two places in Shas.
Yeah, in
Ksuvas Peivov and in Erech Nadav Zion.
Yeah. Bamitzvah,
okay, you remind me.
Yeah, by Yisami.
Oh, okay. I want to say, this is my own shtickle Torah. If you turn the page for a moment, on page 7, I want to say that this machlokes ksos and nesivos, l'chaira, should be dependent upon a machlokes arishenim, about what the makor, as Rabbi Rivas is just mentioning, that there's a mitzvah of priyas bacho, why is a chiyav, where's the word, minah hanimili, from where we learn this halacha that the lova has to pay the malveh, where's the mitzvah on the lova to pay the malveh? So there's two mukaros brought in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim at the end of Bava Basra, bringing from the pasuk I quote over here on top of page 7, it's pasuk in Devarim Chav Dalet Yud Yud Aleph. Kisasha Bereacha Masash Meuma, when you have a debt that someone else owes you money, Lo Sovel Beis Lavod Avot, you can't come into his house to start collecting and taking him in a mashkein. V'chutz Tamo, you stand outside. Not allowed to grab things. But Ish Asher Atanosha Bo, the one that you have that debt upon, the one that owes you the money, Yotzi Lecha as a Ovid Chutza, he'll bring out either the Mashkon or the final payment in two applications. I'll get into that right now. Chutz out to you. So that Pasuk says that it's upon him now to come and make a payment to you. But the context of the Pasuk is when the Malv is coming actively and collecting, and the Torah is limiting him, but don't go and start taking things, don't go enter into his house, you stand outside, make your demand, and let him respond and come out. Based on this pasuk, it's a chiyuv of the lova to pay when the malva asks for payment. However, Rashi and Ksuvas Peivov, where the Gemara over there says, Priyas Bachov is a mitzvah, and the Gemara over there says even that it's dealt with like a mitzvah saseh, and just like when a person says, I don't want to put on tefillin, I don't want to sit on the sukkah, I don't want to eat, I take a lulav, Bezes, Makos, Ashatez, and Nafsha, we say, you have no choice. We're Mechiv and Mitzvahs. Nasav and Ishma. We're Mushma and Harasina. We have Chiyuvim. And therefore, we could force a person to do a mitzvah. Likewise, we could force a person to do the mitzvah, Priyas Bachayiv. That's also a mitzvah. So Rashi over there says, where does it say in the Torah, mitzvahs asay of priyas balchov? So Rashi quickly goes through Chumash Rashi and doesn't come up with that pasuk. There's no pasuk in Kol Torah Kula that says that you have to make a priyas balchov of priyas balchov mitzvah. Where does that mitzvah come from? So Rashi says in Ksuvis, these are the words of Rashi, mitzvah love the freya chayvai ula ameis dvarav, and to keep his words to make them true. Dechsev, hin tzedek, when you say a word, they have to be kept and they have to be true. You have to stand behind your word. Which is the Gemara Bamazia Darshan, shehe hen shechot tzedek, lav shechot tzedek. Your yes has to be a yes, and your no has to be a no. When you have to keep your word, and you said you're going to pay me when you borrowed the money, I wasn't giving you a gift. Yes, for a loan. And you said in 6 months or whatever the time is, you're going to pay it back. So when you said that you're going to pay it back, then it's incumbent upon you to come and pay it back. Otherwise, you're not keeping your word. So from that, Rashi learns that it's a mitzvah say to keep your word ula ames devarav. That is not a matter of responsiveness to the malva's claim. That's a matter of your own keeping of your word, a priyas balchov mitzvah. So much so that we compare it to a tefillin of sukkah and lulav. That's your own independent chiyuv. You have to go and do it. If you don't do it, Bezin's going to force you to do it. It doesn't do with the Bezin. So you have to chiyuv to do to ames devarav. So it's true. It's true that when the malva wants to collect it, you have to respond and pay it. The pasuk in Kiseit say, Yotzi lecha v'zechachutza, that's for sure true. When he comes, you have to respond. You can't say, oh, sorry, I'm not interested, I'm busy today. You have a responsibility to pay once it comes the time of the payment, the term of the loan. But it's also true, Raji telling us, that there's an additional chiyuv of keeping your word and standing behind your commitment, and that is even without the malva making a claim upon you, and therefore that would bear out the lacha, like the nasivas, that you have to pay on your own. So I think that's a very stark smach for the shita of the nasivas. I don't know. I didn't wasn't mind further, but yet, so far.
This is really not the mitzvah of priyas.
Well, that's what Rashi says. Rising on this Gemara that says mitzvahs priyas balchov, Rashi.
It's not talking about
right. A mitzvah of lefreya chayvai is not one of the tariyag mitzvahs. Right, Zok Rashi, but the Dinda Raisa, and we're going to be kaif on it. This is what Rashi comes up with. You know, we have a tremendous following of Rashi, and Rashi comes up with this as his makor. His makor over here is not a claim dependent from the Malve. It's a chiyav on the Lova independent on his own that he has to come forward and keep his word. So I want to say from there, smach to the Shita's
Nasiris. Rashi, right? That may only be where the Malve is today.
What's the basis? Where do you see that?
La
ames dvarav, mitzvah of the froach of la ames dvarav. What does dvarav mean?
Well,
dvarav from the very beginning was you said you're going to pay me in 6 months. Do so.
Right. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean that you have to be to pay that in 6 months?
Well, what was
it,
what
mean,
if you spoke out? If you spoke out and said, I'm going to borrow this money and I'll pay it to you on 30 at 6 months or afterwards whenever you ask for it, on demand. So if I spoke it out like that, then la'ames dvar would be to pay you upon demand, wherever you ask for it. But without saying that, that's not the normal case of a loan.
The question is, what does this not mean?
No, that's not the question. What is the fact? The fact of what we spoke was not on demand. That's an exceptional type of a loan. A normal loan is not a demand loan. A normal loan is with its term. That means, how long do you need the money? How much money do you need? What's your creditworthiness or your cosigner? Okay, you need for 6 months, you need to have $6,000, no problem. Here's $6,000 for 6 months, and you'll pay me back then. Not on demand. So that means in 6 months, you committed to pay. So do so.
So what does the Ketanis do with that?
Maybe it doesn't go with Rashi. I don't know. I'm saying Rashi is a smock than the Nasibis. This is my own little ha'ara, my own two cents. You'll accept it, otherwise Kasha and Nasibis, okay, you have to put it in your pipe and smoke it. But It's, I think, a ha'ara certainly worth bringing into the sugya, which I didn't yet see. I have to tell you, I traveled back and forth to New York since shir this morning to the shir tonight, and I didn't have a lot of svarim with me. A couple of things I brought with me, so I had to limit how much I. Okay. Anyway, that's my little ha'ara from Rashi and Ksuvas. Go back to page 6 for a second. Just want to tell you in the Shulchan Aruch it says that even after years and years go by, if he finally comes, wakes up, and he says, okay, you owe me the money, you collect from him. And even if he heard from him, shehid nisyayesh, Yush is to say, I give up. I'm never going to see this money. It's a bad loan. Write it off as a lost case, a bad deal, right? And I throw up my hands and I give up on it. So if I give up on a lost item of Metzia, an Aveda that I lost, I say, Vayelich, Hesor, and Kis, Oive, you know, what can you do? You win some, you lose some. This is a lost case. Afterwards, someone picks it up, they're allowed to keep it. That's after Yiyush. But here I sit on the Chov. This Chov, I'm never going to see it. I've heard about this guy, he had tzaras, he lost his job, and then book this, and then book this, and he has a whole bunch of tzaras. You know, forget about it. Write that off as a bad loan, right? I might even take it off on my taxes as a business loss. So there's Zokta Shulchan Aruch, Afilu Shemalu Shinas Yayish Me'achov L'Gamri, Omer Vayach Hazor HaKiz, still ain't no Yiyush. Doesn't matter. There's no Yiyush on that. And I gave you some marmakomas back and forth. They argue about this issue of Yiyush. I'm not getting into right now. So that's the law. Even after many years, he could come along and collect it. However, in Sif Beis over there, at the bottom of page 6, the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says, but not so fast. When he comes through, he waits 6 months is supposed to be the loan. He wakes up after 5 years and he brings a guy to Bezdin. Bezdin's first question is, what took so long? What happened for 5 years? So we have to start being suspicious and say, what does it mean? You didn't want to collect all this time? You know, what were you thinking? What are you thinking? And maybe there's something going on over here. Sometimes what has gone on is that the Lova paid up already and he doesn't remember it anymore. And I've had this case, I'll tell you, in the Beis Din, that a guy doesn't get to collect for a couple years afterwards a home repair, right? A whole build-out that I did for you. And now 5 years later, you say that I still owe you a balance of another couple of $1,000. You think I hold cup already on all these kinds of things? It was so complicated when we're holding in the sugya, right? And 5 years later, you think I'm still holding cup about what I paid and what I didn't pay? We went back and forth 17 times in all the different change orders. And I should still remember 5 years later, you're going to come over here and say, I know all the information. Why don't you know what I say? Because it's 5 years later. I don't remember all the information, my friend. Right? So it puts him at an unfair disadvantage. And we have to be sort of suspicious that, you know what? Why did he wait all this time? And see if there's Dron Gav. Lama loy tavu arata. Where that doesn't mean he doesn't have a right to get paid. But it means we have to ask some lot of questions and don't jump to go and collect it right away. There might be more there than meets the eye.
It's the same case, a mashkiya put a riska, more than one of
a iska, that's a good question. An iska, classically, is a palga milva, palga bikotek. It's a half and half. It's a hybrid. It's part milva, part loan, and part investment. Let's say if you're the manager that's going to buy and sell, and I'm the capital investor. So I give you over here $10,000, right? So $5,000 is given to you as that's your money. You borrow it, it'll be $5,000. I don't care what you do with it. You lose it all, or you make $1 million with it, just pay me $5,000. The other $5,000 is my money, which you're a wise person, you know how to do business, you'll invest that for me as my shliach, and I'll pay you for that, okay? So then on that $5,000, if you lose it, it's my loss, as long as you're not negligent. And if you make profit, it's my profit. And therefore, there's going to be a profit sharing. So when you now make $1 million, half the million will be yours and half the million will be mine. If you don't make $1 million, whatever the profits or losses will be split. Then the Heter Isker builds into it protection for the investor that because it's going to be difficult to ever prove anything without Shvua, Deraisa, or without Adams, therefore we're just going to say, you know, instead of, I could assume that you made at least 5% or 10% profit, and if you pay me up that much, I'll waive any rights after anything more than that. Okay, so it's a hybrid, partially a loan, and partially just giving you money to invest for me. The partial loan fits into this whole thing that we're talking about. The partial investment is business. It's not a loan at all. So a different story. Okay, let's get down to the bottom. There's in secular law, in most countries in the world, there's something called a statute of limitations. It varies on particular debts and particular amounts of times. The details aren't important. But the concept is that there's a certain amount of time, 3 years or 5 years, whatever it might be, that's reasonable to be able to collect. After that, you don't get to collect. And the idea might be part of what I just mentioned right now because it's unfair after that. The idea might be that the other guy is not required to keep his information that long. Whatever the idea behind it is, there's a statute of limitation you can't collect. Al-Pi Halacha, we just saw in Shulchan Aruch. Afilu Kama Shanim, years and years could go by if you didn't collect yet. You still could collect afterwards. The Shaila is, how are we going to deal with this in Beis Din when there is a Chok Hisyashnus, as it's called in Hebrew, a statute of limitations. I don't worry, I want to get into the sugya of Dinam B'chusdin. We talk about it on another occasion. But the Piskei Choshen brings down from the Rav Poyla Metshuva from that says that where there is a minig haseichron, where it becomes common practice in an industry, in business, that people realize that there's a statute of limitations, and after a certain amount of time, a couple of years go by, you can't collect anymore, then that becomes the adaita d'hachi, the basis upon which people do business, and he's sabra v'kibol, and he accepts that, and he does business originally, and he takes that loan, or gives that loan out, actually, on adaita d'hachi, and therefore he wouldn't be able to collect afterwards. So where you could establish there is a minig, and that might be in an industry on a commercial level when you're doing business, that might be true. It's my personal feeling that when it's not on a commercial basis, but it's a private loan between two individual members of the community, people do not do it with that in mind, and people understand you're going to be hired to pay even after many, many years, even though you won't be able to sue in civil court after 3 years, but or 5 years, whatever it might be in states, but in Bezin we will collect. Well, if something is done on a commercial basis, there would be a halacha basis to say that that's the minig haseichrim, and that would have to then be a daita hachi, that would be the understanding upon which you made the loan mitchila. Aval pike, even if we'll establish that, I want to present the following, and people could do a little homework and come back and report on this. It's not pasha to me whether even a statute of limitation in the legal concept of it, and therefore with the minig haseichrim that's accepted and that the practice of it becomes a daita hachi, that's understanding, means that after that there's no more chiyuv. We have a parallel in law, in civil law, of bankruptcy, which is not al-pi halacha. But the concept of bankruptcy, little as many people don't understand, the truth is, and people that are into it are telling me like this consistently, that it does not cancel the debt of the debtor. It limits and restricts the right of the creditor that he's no longer allowed to collect. It's a mania of gviya. You're not allowed to collect after that. But the loan itself, inside the leivah, is chai v'kayim. You want to pay it? You're welcome to. You don't want to pay it? He's never going to bother you. And neither court nor Beis Din, is federal law, doesn't allow us to make any collection efforts, actions, to be able to collect it. But it doesn't be'etzem take away the chiyuv. There's a whole chakira about Shemitah's Ksafim. We'll talk about that during maybe Elzman or next year. Whether that's also the pshat, that just a chiyuv, a mitzvah on the mal, but not to collect, but the lova still has a chiyuv, and that will be another discussion. So if be'etzem the chov is still on the leiva, that might be the pshat over here also by Lewis. Statute of limitation means it limits the malva's ability to collect. It doesn't necessarily say that after that he was meichel. And I like that if someone could, I have not done a research on this question. If that will be found to be the case, then it's true that the malva won't be able to collect after that, and maybe even Bezin won't be able to make a collection on that. But we can still tell the leiva, there's a mitzvah priyas balchayv, and you have to mekayim your mitzvah, you're still mukhiya bedavar, and you have behein chachot tzedek, la'amiz dvar, you're still going to have to pay. So that's Tzar Birur, as for example. Oh, Jeff is over here. He might be able to answer us. So you have to know someone that knows the sugya. But if that be true, it could be even where that minig is prevalent, that Be'etzim is still a mitzvah priyas b'chayv. I'm just saying my own svara is that between private individuals, that's not the minig at all. Next week, as Hashem, is Tisha B'av, it should become a Yom Tov and Peir Beta. Whether it's Yom Tov or otherwise, we're not going to have a shir next week. And then I think we're going to be going on our summer break until Elul. And then in Merch Shem, we will be starting some kind of new unit, so stay tuned. Myself or Ruby will let you know what's happening. Thank you all for coming, and I'll stop. I'll go to Zoom.